Down to business on News Talk.
Thanks to Bank of Ireland, here to support business through the impact of coronavirus.
Now, economist Jim Power has just authored a report about the significance of the small and medium enterprise, that's the SME sector, of the Irish economy. He argues that COVID-19 eventually will pass, but the priority to support the SME sector will then become even more crucial to the future viability of the Irish economy. Jim joins me now. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Bobby. How are you doing?
Great, I'm good. Firstly, Jim, the significance of the SME sector in the Irish economy. The Local Jobs Alliance commissioned this report. Who are they, first of all?
The Local Jobs Alliance is a group of organisations that set up about 10 years ago to promote family-owned businesses in the main. It's ISME, it's the CSNA, that's the Convenience Stores Network, the two Vintners Associations, the Restaurant Association of Ireland, the Irish Health, the Irish Hotels Federation, and RG Data.
Okay.
So those seven bodies, they employ, they employ about 240,000 people, and there's about 25,000 SMEs represented in the seven businesses. So they are very significant employers, and I suppose.
Well, this is really about, just to put it in context, it's about close to 70% of the working population.
Well, it is indeed, Bobby. We have about 270,000 SMEs in the country. They account for just over 99% of total businesses in the country. They employ about 1.06 million people, which accounts for about 65% of total private sector employment. So the SME sector really is the lifeblood of the economy, but particularly of the villages, towns, cities around the country, where they really do create that economic vibrancy and sense of community and interaction with their own community that's so important.
Well, I'm fully with you on all that. Right, so let's look at some specific measures then for SMEs, Jim. You're talking about solvency supports, fiscal grants, lower VAT rates, commercial rates holiday for 12 months, a commercial rent scheme. Now, has there not been constitutional issues brought up around property rights and that? Are we at an impasse there on getting SMEs lower rents?
Well, that is the problem, and that's why it is absolutely essential that we get a permanent government in place as quickly as possible to implement primary legislation if necessary. But I suppose the key point is the French have introduced a scheme called 60-20-20, whereby the state pays about 60% of the rent for a 12-month period, the business pays 20%, and the landlord takes a 20% cut in rents. And I think, you know, it's really important that landlords engage, and they are engaging, but it is really important that they do engage, because at the end of the day, and there's two distinct phases of this. One is keeping these businesses alive when they are forced to shut down during this period of closure, and secondly, for at least the next 12-18 months after they start to reopen, the economic environment is going to be challenging. So I think if landlords do not come to the table on this and agree deals with all of their tenants, then a lot of those tenants will disappear forever, and then they're left with zero rent and will find it very difficult to rent properties again.
Okay.
So
Another thing I want to ask you is, could the government invest directly in SMEs like they did in banks, Jim? Like, could there be some sort of way that it's almost like, I'm the government, I'm giving this small business 50,000, you can buy it back or you can buy me out once you're in a position? Like, is there some simple mechanism that the government could become a shareholder in SMEs?
Yes, indeed. You know, politically, all of this stuff, supporting private sector businesses, is challenging, is quite controversial. So at the end of the day, if this could certainly make the process a whole lot easier, if the SME owners were willing to give government a stake, some sort of equity stake in their business, I actually think that is much more suited to larger businesses than smaller ones. But it is a possibility. But I think the bottom line here, I mean, the government's stake in all of this really, Bobby, is to make sure that all of those, or as many of those businesses as possible, can reopen that they can survive over the next couple of years of difficult trading circumstances in many situations, and that they are in a position to rebuild the economy, because I think the devastation that would be done to villages, towns, and indeed cities around the country if a lot of these businesses go will be absolutely devastating, and the social, the economic consequences will be really, really severe.
Jim, what about a sectoral approach? Like, a convenience store in a suburb of Dublin is a very different proposition to a cafe beside, you know, the Blarney Stone, for instance, in terms of how do you differentiate when it comes to support, and that you actually support the businesses that need support?
I guess in this whole process, you've just got to look at the impact it's had on the business, the impact it's had on turnover. And you could, of course, graduate the support you give based on the impact that COVID-19 has had. So it's difficult, and it's very laborious. There's going to be a lot of work involved, and that's why it's sort of easier to have a blanket approach rather than a sector-by-sector approach. But with the blanket approach, it's obviously going to be more expensive, and, you know, you will make mistakes. You will give money to businesses that don't need the money, but you can say the same thing about the employee support scheme that was introduced there in the middle of March. You know, there are people getting that who are a hell of a lot better off now than they were prior to COVID-19.
Okay.
And we've heard those stories. But you see, if you introduce this sort of blanket approach, obviously you're going to end up with, you know, some discrepancies there. But I think that's the price that needs to be paid for making sure that these businesses survive,
okay,
and very importantly, re-employ the over 1 million people that are currently in receipt of COVID-related benefits.
One final quick one for you, Jim. You're proposing, I think, another agency, something like the IDA or something that would be in format like the IDA, but for small business. There's no danger that we'll just create another kind of quango thing here, is there?
That's, well, Bobby, would you describe Enterprise Ireland or the IDA as quangos? I wouldn't. They're two organisations that have been incredibly successful in delivering what they're meant to deliver. For the Enterprise Ireland, it's growing the export potential of Irish businesses. For the IDA, it's attracting foreign direct investment. But the local Jobs Alliance would feel that there's absolutely nobody there representing the SME interest per se. So I think the setting up of a properly funded agency, properly resourced, would put SMEs at the centre of government policymaking. And that needs to happen, because too often in the formation of a government, you know, the bigger employers, the trade unions, have way too much say in a programme for government. SMEs need to be put at the heart of a programme for government. And I believe that to achieve that, you will need to formally set up some sort of agency.
Okay.
Obviously, it will have to work efficiently.
Okay, I totally agree with you. And I've read the report, Jim. Well done on writing it. I thought it made a lot of sense. And again, the SME does need to be heard. Jim Power there, many thanks to you.